Hello, and welcome back to Dark Opinions, Dark Reporter. Welcome back. If you've listened in before, thank you for returning. And if you're new, I hope you enjoy. Tonight, I am talking about gun violence in America. I've touched on this topic before, about mass shootings in schools and stuff. And there was just another one today in Nashville, Tennessee. And it really proved me wrong, the one today, because before, I mean, like, all these mass shootings were happening in the public school system. So I was like, private school, homeschools don't really experience this. But today it happened at a private Christian school. And I'm like, man, no schools are safe anymore. So what is up with this gun violence thing? You know, this is not a bipartisan issue. This is an everybody issue. This is an issue of with our politicians, no matter what side you're on. Our politicians need to make sweeping changes in how we view gun safety and how we prevent gun violence. Now, I'm going to talk to you guys about some really cool solutions. Some of them you might have heard of, especially if you live in California, and ways that you can get involved also. And yes, I'm on my soapbox because this is very important. This is one of the topics that I am so passionate about. And being the activist that I am speaking out, and I'm going to keep speaking out using this platform, social media, whatever I can. If there's a march or a rally, you betcha I'm going to be there, like I am with other marches and rallies that I've been very passionate about, you know, on the topics for their purpose. So what I'm talking about is GVROs. Have you heard of that before? GVROs. What that is are gun violence restraining orders. And the reason why I said, if you live in California, you probably heard of this, is because California enacted it. They started it. And they have seen amazing results from it. And I'm going to tell you all about what the gun violence restraining order is in just a moment. But first, I want to give you some facts as I see it. And it's totally fine if you don't agree with me. I discuss topics, current topics, with my friends, family, classmates, a lot, and a lot of times I come up on people that don't agree with me. But you know what? That's how you move ahead. You don't move ahead by being in agreement about everything. You have to know what you stand for and stay with that. You know, stick with what you stand for unless something changes your mind, really good that changes your mind, and that there's enough facts presented. Now, like my stance on mass shootings don't happen in private schools, but look at today, it did. So that's enough to make me, that's a fact, enough to make me change my mind on that. Now, what I want to talk to you about is gun control and why it won't work. Gun control will not work. We can fight it in the White House all we want. The Democrats can fuss. The Republicans can stand firm, whatever. But gun control is not the answer to mass shootings and gun violence. And here is why. The reason why is because guns are not the problem. People are the problem. Let me repeat that. Guns are not the problem. People are the problems. I don't care if it's an assault rifle. I don't care if it's a handgun. I don't care if it's a grenade launcher. Facts is that a gun is going to be a gun, no matter what you do with it. But it's not violent until somebody irresponsible picks it up and turns it into a violent weapon. A gun can sit on a table all day long and not bother a soul. Just because a gun is sitting there does not mean it's going to hurt anybody. It can't. It does not have the facility to engage itself and go off. It does not have that capability. It's not human. It's not a computer or a robot. A gun is a gun. A gun is a tool. A gun, if placed in the wrong hands, will turn into a weapon. If placed in the right hand, would turn into a defense tool, like somebody breaking into your home trying to hurt you, or your someone in your family, the police department trying to protect people, trying to protect the public. Those are good humans using a gun responsibly. Why we see these school shootings is because, I'm not saying bad people pick up guns and use them wrong. I'm saying irresponsible people pick up the gun and use them wrong. And why am I making that distinction? I am making that distinction because some of the people picking up these guns and doing these mass shootings are mentally ill. They have something going on. If they're not clinically mentally ill, then they are suffering from some type of mental anguish, mental stress, which leads me to my next podium discussion point. And that is that the GVRO is among a group of solutions that will deter or prevent gun violence. And in this group has been colloquially termed kind of like nicknamed, I guess you could say, the controversial term red flag laws. And why is that a controversial term? The reason why red flag laws are controversial, we should not say red flag laws, we should say extreme risk laws, is because it stigmatizes those in the mental health community, those who are mentally ill, making it sound like they are violent, automatically violent. And now here's where I tend to veer off of this viewpoint, of this, this discussion point, is that the community says that red flag laws is a controversial term and should not be used. Instead, extreme risk laws should be used. I beg to differ, because the reasoning is that mentally ill people are extremely violent. Not all of them, but they can be extremely violent. To say that they are not in a blanket term is absolutely erroneous. That is absolutely wrong. The mental health community, there are some mental illnesses that renders them absolutely violent, absolutely a threat. And so to me, I feel that red flag laws are appropriate. Because when people think of red flag laws, they're thinking red flag laws like, oh my God, somebody is trying to hurt somebody with a weapon. And that person needs to be stopped. Not that that person is mentally ill. I don't think that people would normally just associate red flag laws with the mental health community unless that subject was brought into it. So I will continue to use red flag laws. And now we're going into the GVROs. Now, what exactly is a gun violence restraining order? Anybody can get a gun violence restraining order on someone. But if you're under 18, you got to get a parent file. There is no fee. Those fees have been waived. And again, this is enacted in California, and I think 19 other states have adopted this program. And so what it is that because most times, mostly all the times, before someone commits a mass shooting, like what happened today in Nashville, Tennessee, they give signs. They tell somebody. Either they tell a family member, a clergy person, they're on social media. So anybody who senses that person is going to be violent with a gun, with weapons, they can actually for free petition the court for a restraining order. And what that does is not a criminal court order thing. It is civil. It's a civil court thing. And what that does is that renders that person unable to use those weapons because they're taken away from that person. And for as long as that restraining order is in effect, this does not go against them. It's not on their record in or anything like that. And when the restraining order is over, the weapons can be placed back into their hands. And this is to help, like, say, like, somebody is, like, the lady today. They say that she's 28 and she is transgendered. They did not know if she shot the people at the elementary school because of maybe it's a Christian school, so possibly their teachings against transgenders or the LGBTQ community. But let's say that she was spiraling. And what spiraling is when you go through your past and it just keeps repeating over and over and over and over again. And you know how that some people can just get themselves worked up, and it's like this spiral that just gets more passionate the more it goes on. And like you just, sometimes you can lose focus of what's around you, and that's all you know is that spiral. And some people with this going on act out, which is what they're thinking possibly is what happened with the shooter. And so if someone knew that something was going on with her, they could, if they knew of the GVRO, because a lot of people still don't know about it, it is rather new. They could have gotten one if their state participated in the program. And that could have taken the two assault rifles and the handgun out of her hands, until she was able to heal and able to, able to recover to the point where she was calm. You know, that she was able to de-escalate until she became calm and more rational. And for the duration of that restraining order, she would not have any access to any firearms. Now, this programs like this is what is going to stop these mass shootings, in my opinion. I feel this strongly. Not taking guns away. Not banning guns. Now, assault rifles, there is absolutely no reason why any everyday citizen should have an assault rifle. Seriously, there's nothing, there's no deer, no elk out there so serious that you're going to need an assault rifle to hunt. If you're not a mercenary, if you're not a dagger, but that's not an everyday citizen. If you're not a sniper, but that's not an everyday citizen. Everyday citizens have no reason to have assault rifles. And that brings me to my next discussion point. Is I just got finished talking about one half of the gun problem or the violent gun violence problem. The other half is in our low-income neighborhoods, where guns are promoted like trophies. And our media and our entertainment industries help promote the violence. I'm talking about music, like rap music, that show people brandishing assault rifles and, you know, talking about killing people and like in music like play with Playboi Carti or Lil Uzi Vert and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't listen to that music because I don't support it. And I understand that they're rapping about their life from the hood. But that's some place that really needs red flag laws. Seriously. Because how can we as a nation say no to one sector of our society, but it's allowed in the other one? It's like, and it's mainly with the Black community, the young Black community. And it's like we're saying to them, we expect you to be violent against each other. So here are some assault rifles. Go ahead and we'll promote your music. As long as you're violent, we'll go ahead and hook you up, put you on, and all this kind of stuff. Promoting it. And that's kind of what society expects to see now, because that's all we hear about is them getting in trouble on gun charges and shooting up like what happened to Takeoff and all kinds of stuff like that. That area of that section of our society needs red flag laws too. Somebody knows. And it might not, GVROs might not be appropriate for that, because you have to go into court and to attend the proceedings to obtain the restraining orders. And most people in low-income neighborhoods can't afford attorneys. And there's probably like a free legal aid, but you know how many people, their caseloads have got to be astronomical any free legal aid. And so the timing for them to actually get a restraining order through might not be substantial enough to prevent that violence from happening. And then you don't want to be going to court. For one, you probably have, they probably have charges against them. If not, there's a lot of, really, there are a lot of upstanding citizens in the hood. They're just there by circumstance. But for those that, a lot of those also have, probably have prior charges, what you call that, arrest warrants out for them and all kinds of stuff. And I, if, in my opinion, I don't think that any of those, if somebody's going to report to request a GVRO, their history should not be allowed to be a deterrent. So if you have a warrant for missing a court date or something, then they can't arrest you when you go to the court to request a GVRO. But a lot of people aren't going to do that because that's called snitching, and snitches get stitches. And a lot of people are afraid to talk. So that's the difference between that section of society and the one I spoke of at the beginning. Because the one I spoke to at the beginning are concerned teachers, family members, anybody that senses, that sees, that feels that someone is about to become. Hello, I'm back. I'm sorry, I had a little interruption there. There was an Amber Alert that came through. So I was talking about how one side, one part of society is very caring and concerned about the person that might be violent with guns and go to the courthouse and obtain a gun violence restraining order. It very simple, just go there to the courthouse. They waived all the fees, waived the filing fees, all that kind of stuff is waived so that finance is not a deterrent and that you can go in there, you know, everything, you're not afraid of, you know, backlash and all that kind of stuff. But on the other side, in the low income and the hood areas and stuff like that, there is that fear. That's that main deterrent, is the backlash of going into the courthouse, reporting it, and then because you had to report it, your name is now on there, and they know who you are. Yeah, people don't want that trouble. People don't want that trouble, and also because they might have things on their record that they don't want to walk into a courthouse with. Which, like I said, I think that something like that should not be a factor when somebody goes in to request a GVRO. There are several different types of solutions to deter gun violence, and there are good ones. I think these solutions, these red flag laws, when they're used, are actually great. But they have to be used. So I'm going to give y'all some information. And this information is going to help y'all figure out pretty much how you can help prevent the next mass shooting. So let me find it real quick. There are several websites you can go to, but this one here is called speakforsafety.org. Again, that is speakforsafety.org. www.speakforsafety.org. That is the URL. And they tell you how to get into your community and advocate for gun safety, for public safety. You get out there in your community, because we all know our politicians need to do something, but really it's not on our politicians, because these people that are committing these violent acts are coming from somebody's home. If not their own home, they're coming from a family, friends, somewhere. It is a community effort as well. If you see something, say something. If you see something is wrong with your family member, with your friend, say something. If your state does not have a gun violence law, call the police. Call. If they go to school, call your school administrators and ask them what would be the best course of action to prevent anything bad from happening. You just can't sit there and pray. Just sitting there and praying. Praying is a good thing, y'all. I love praying. But just praying is not going to work. We have to put action into it. We can call our politicians and tell them, if your state does not have red flag laws, call your politicians, call your attorney generals, call your governors, call your state representatives, find out who they are and call them. That is their job, is to listen to you. Call them. Keep calling them if you have to. Write letters to your state capitol. We can do, if you're not the type of person that goes out into the community and is an activist and you're not comfortable speaking publicly, write letters, write emails. You can do something, but just praying is not going to work. Talking about it in church, put it in your sermon and just talking about it, it's not going to work. Because it's only going, the walls and the congregation are hearing you, but you're not doing anything actually to prevent it until you take it out into the community and enact it. You have to make it happen. And if your state representative, your governor, if they believe in, if they want to support guns, having possession of guns, that's fine. That's fine, because like I said, guns are not violent. People are violent. So whether or not your politician is for or against gun control, gun control is not the issue. That's why it will not work to deter the violence, because gun control is not the issue. People are the issue. People are violent. A butcher knife can be sitting on the counter in the kitchen, but it's just going to be sitting there until somebody picks it up. It can't cut nothing. It can't slice nothing. It can't do nothing until somebody comes up there and uses it. Then that's when it becomes violent, not because it's a knife, but because of the person's intentions with it. You can take the gun away from the person, but you're not going to take the violent problem away. Because where there's one resource for violence, they will find something else. So we're always going to be chasing after this white rabbit that can never be caught, because we're chasing after the wrong thing. We need to fix the people, not the weapons, not the guns, people. We need to fix the people. We as humans in this country have a problem. Some of us have problems because we're violent. Others have a problem because other people are violent. So, please get out there. So, and if you're politicians, you find somebody in your state that supports gun safety, red flag laws, support them. Let them know that you support them. Because even though they're politicians and we're used to pretty much, you know, giving them a hard time, they're human. They're human just like we are. Let them know you support them. Encourage them. Okay? So when I'm not talking about taking anybody's guns away. That's so wrong to think that that's what I'm talking about. No. Everybody keeps their guns except the assault rifles. No average everyday citizens have any business owning an assault rifle. None. But even if you have one, an assault rifle is the same thing as any other gun. It's just a gun until the wrong person picks it up. And the gun's never the problem. It's the person that's the problem. So once we all get on the same page, because I just saw a news segment where someone who's a mass shooting survivor, she crashed I wouldn't call it a press conference. It was like an interview, outdoor interview, and she said that it could be your children, but this is going to continue until we get our politicians to do something about gun control. And I feel her where she's coming from, but I disagree. It's us too. We have to do something too, our politicians and us. And it's not gun control starts with us. It doesn't start with guns. It starts with us. People are bad people, or people with bad intentions, I should say, or what the problem is. That gun was still a gun until the lady today, Audrey, she pulled the trigger. It was her intention that made her pull the trigger. The gun didn't tell her to pull the trigger. It was her intentions for what she had for the people in that school, in the elementary school, that caused her to pull the trigger. The gun can't talk to her. The gun can't coerce her. The gun can't do anything but just sit there and be a gun, a hunk of metal with more metal on the inside. And that's all it is. But it was her intentions that she went there with that caused her to pull that trigger. If it was any other day, if she had any other intentions in mind, if she had a peaceful intention of love and kindness, she wouldn't have even picked up the gun. It didn't even have to be a gun. It could have been a knife. It could have been a 4x4 or something she hit somebody over the head with. Anything. It's not the 4x4 or the knife or whatever or the crowbar or anything. It was her and her intentions. We are responsible for what we do. When we do something wrong, laying the blame on other people never works. So when there's a mass shooting, laying the blame on politicians, I mean, that's not going to work. Now, yes, politicians should be doing more to help with these laws, to help keep us safe. But we need to be doing more in our households in our communities, in our workplaces, in our synagogues and churches and courtrooms, wherever else we are. We can do more too. Yes, politicians can do more, but so can we. And I mean, I think that all 50 states should have gun control laws where, you know, yeah, because I was going to say where mass shootings or violence is a problem, but yeah, all 50 states, the whole world actually, but all of America should have red flag laws, and that should be enacted from the federal government, not at the state level, but from the federal government. And it should be, because there's several different ways that we can keep our states, our people safe. So we should be up to the states to figure out how they do it. But the choice to do it or not should not be optional. It should not be optional. And Biden, he responded pretty quickly. I was pleased with that. But again, more talking. You know, and these parents, the parents and the children are talking about they're tired of talking, of having, you know, discussions. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. That's all they do. That's all the White House does, is they just talk about it. These politicians, they just talk about it. Well, let's talk about, now every time a mass shooting happens, they want to discuss it. But nothing happens. Look at Uvalde. The most that happened there was that some police officers got in trouble for not responding properly. There are some, from what I last found out, there were some red flag laws that were put in place there, but that was because of the community effort. Not a politician, but it was a community effort. So while I am, let me see, go back through my notes, see if I wrote down anything about Uvalde and red flag laws. You know, we are, really moving really slow. You know, because Texas has not, because Texas wants to push back on gun control because they don't want too much government interference in, you know, the personal lives of people. And they feel that a lot of, like, the conservative Republicans feel that guns, that their guns are their own personal property that they should be allowed to have. And they feel violated because they feel that that right is being threatened when they have done no wrong to have deserved to take for their guns to be taken away, which is true. I don't feel that their guns should be taken away. Sometimes they use their guns for safety for their home. Sometimes they go hunting. And so when responsible people have guns, that's the ideal situation that you want. That's not the problem. So threatening to take their guns away, that's not that, no. That's not even, that should not even be an afterthought. taking guns away from irresponsible people, yes. Now, let's say you have a criminal, violent criminal history. Should you be able to buy a gun? Now, the Republicans in Texas passed the law for, well, we should say Governor Abbott went and passed a law on his own so he wouldn't receive opposition on it. And it's the permitless carry, where you do not have to have a permit to buy a gun. No background checks, really. He's starting to see the wrong of that. He's starting to change his mind on that. But all that pushback is coming as a result of the Democrats wanting to remove all guns, ban guns from everyday citizens, especially assault rifles, violent guns. And this whole fight is just between, it's just an angst between the Republicans and the Democrats. It has nothing to do with the mass shootings. The Republicans and the Democrats love going at each other, whatever the topic is. And while they're going at each other over this, the mass shootings are still happening. So, I mean, there's little that we can ever do to change how they interact with each other. So that, I think that places more of the responsibility on us. We have to take over our country, and we have to enact some strategies, pass some laws. We have to do these things, and our young people, our younger generations in their 30s, 40s, basically 30s, actually, I would say, in my opinion, they are our future. They are our future. Because my generation is getting older and older. I'm tired of these old Americans getting into office and the lack of term limits. And the reason why things don't change is because the same mindset has been in there for ages. We need some fresh ideas, some new perspectives. We need our young people to get more involved in government, to help us make these changes. Because I'm telling you, we as an older generation, we can't do it. It's time for us to pass the baton to the younger generation. It's time for us to admit that we can't do it. We have to pass the baton to them and trust that they can run our nation. And then that goes into a whole nother podcast topic about how I feel that the older generations try to control what the younger generations do so much. We have this tight, clenched iron fist on them because we don't want them. We want them to be a certain way. We want them to correct our errors. We want them to this and that. And that's where all these book bans and all this kind of stuff is coming from. But we need to release all that and give them a chance. Give the younger generation a chance. So, okay, I'm off my soapbox now. And so this ends this podcast. And so next one, I'm not sure what the topic will be, but we shall see. And until then, thank you all for listening in. And be nice to each other. Be kind. And if you see something, please say something.